You're listening to Crosslink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email.
Hello, it's Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, which is what I am. I'm a clinical dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And just not too long ago, I came across a website that talked about another new kind of diet called a high definition diet, HD diet, and they were talking about hydrophilic foods. And we talk quite a bit about hydrophilic properties in dentistry. We talk about sealant materials being hydrophilic. My guest today is Karen Gilbert, and she is the founder of Decision Nutrition and has been counseling patients since 1998. She holds a master's degree in nutrition and food studies from New York University and completed her dietetic residency at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. She has been featured in a number of magazines, including Self, Shape, Red Book, 17, Cosmopolitan, U.S. Weekly, and she has appeared on TV shows like NBC Today Show, Access Hollywood, and Fox and Friends, among some others. She lives in New York with her husband and three sons. Yay for sons. Her first book, which was published by Ronell, is The HD Diet, which focuses on a mind-body approach to weight loss that is both pleasurable and, keyword, sustainable. With motivational stories from clients, some have lost up to 30 pounds in 12 weeks, detailed shopping lists, daily menu templates, and a strong emphasis on making healthy decisions for life, the HD diet ensures that every reader will live life in high definition. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. What a wonderful intro. Thank you so much. I love it.
So, all right. So here I am clicking around looking for something else, and all of a sudden I'm like, hydrophilic foods? And so yeah. I followed that link, and I came across your website, and you have a pretty comprehensive website, and tell us a little bit about this whole path that you were on.
Yeah, so I have been in this field for many, many years, and obviously, you know, when I first started, I didn't have so much of a plan. I was more, I went to NYU and I got my master's, and we just studied, you know, the concept of, you know, dieting and how to lose weight and how to get your body healthy through calories in, calories out, and things like that. So eventually, mm-hmm. as I kept studying, you know, I wanted to find something that could really, you know, translate to people feeling satiated and full and satisfied, like you said, and I wanted it to be sustainable. So as I went on in my practice, I eventually discovered it really started with discovering seeds called chia seeds, which I don't know if your listeners have heard of, but there are these seeds that are extraordinarily hydrophilic, and that's what I discovered about them. So I was like, that's an interesting property. As you put water onto these seeds, they absorb almost 12 times up to their weight. I don't know, Shirley, if you ever like had chia seeds or if you ever had chia seed pudding or anything, but it gels up into like this property that is, you know, really, really huge and water, like filled with water. So
they're kind of like tapioca that way, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It kind of
gels like,
thing.
So, yes. Usually, like, that's a good comparison. So, like, chia pudding tastes like tapioca pudding. Like, you know, it has that consistency.
Oh, okay.
So interesting because, you know, what gives it that property that you can add water to something and it just increases in size? And the answer was that it's a hydrophilic fiber really called soluble fiber, where it's water loving or water absorbing. So and other foods that have that property that you can see that are like oats and beans, you know, things that you add water to and they kind of gel up. And they're, you know, and they have that consistency. So I just started researching you know, why that would be beneficial for our bodies, because at the time there was some information, not a lot, on chia seeds and how they were so healthy for you because they kept you really full and satiated, and that how it was really great if you played sports or if you, you know, if you had a long day and you wanted, and there was a lot of research on chia seeds from way back when. It was used in with the Aztecs and Mayans when they used to cross the desert for, like, when they were in war. So, and they used to just have chia seeds on them, and it would kind of sustain them for the entire, you know, day, for weeks. And I was like, it's so interesting because perhaps this is something I can incorporate into a diet plan. So that's how it started. And then I just started to research that were hydrophilic and what other foods were water absorbing. And I found a whole list of foods, including things like oats and beans. And then there's a lot of fruits and vegetables that have this quality too. And I started building a meal plan around them. And that's how it started. So the reason why it started to really, really get, you know, develop into a meal plan is because I just started developing different meals and snacks with these foods. And as I did that, clients just started to really feel amazing and started to lose weight. So that's how it started. And then also, you know, you have to remember when you ingest foods that are water absorbing, like what I just discussed, like the chia seeds or, you know, the other flew a list of foods that I have in my book. You, one, obviously stay full and satiated, and two, that gel-like kind of property that I was discussing, that water-absorbing process, happens in your digestive system, and that translates to your blood sugars rising really slowly. Not only are you feeling satiated, but you're not having those cravings that you know, sometimes we experience if we're not feeding ourselves properly. It's like we have, you know, like a bagel or a muffin in the morning, and then we're full, but an hour later we're feeling not satisfied, like we need something else, like we need to keep going, you know, like we have cravings throughout the day. And a lot of times that's because you're not eating properly. So that's what the plan is based on.
So let's break this down just for one second here. Hydrophilic, not everybody knows what hydrophilic is. We kind of have a mixed audience of dentists and dental hygienists, which I kind of told you about, but we also have some regular people.
Sure.
So can you just describe the term hydrophilic for our audience?
Sure. So the word hydrophilic comes from a Greek word, which is hydro, which is water, and philia, which is friendly. So it's water friendly. So it, you know, the way I describe it in the book is it's water loving foods, not filled with water, more that they're attracted to water. So exactly what I was describing with the seeds, like they start off as little seeds, picture like a sesame seed. They kind of look like that. And then you place water on it and it gels up into like that consistency, that gel, where it's almost spoon in the middle of it because it gels up so much.
Without cooking, right?
Even without cooking. And it's that's why so many people that are on raw diets like that, like the will use chia seeds sometimes because it's, you know, without cooking, that happens right before your very eyes, you know, where it just gels up. And then, you know, sometimes I describe foods like I was saying, like the oats or the beans, or we were discussing seaweed, like when they're wet, they get that slimy consistency, you know, a little bit like, you know, if you touch it, it like looks gooey or slimy, like oats. Those foods usually are, you know, that's because those foods are attracted to water and they're absorbing water. And that's really what hydrophilic means. And that's the property that I look for in the foods that I will build a meal plan around or snacks around. So a great example of a breakfast would be oats with chia seeds and some raspberries. And that would be like a very hydrophilic breakfast because all those foods have that property of like of hydrophilic fiber, which in layman's terms is really soluble fiber. When you look at different contents like of foods, they have soluble or insoluble fiber. Soluble mm-hmm. fiber is really that hydrophilic fiber because that type of fiber is attracted to water. And that's really what it, you know, that's really what it means for people that don't know what it means. It just means water loving or foods that are attracted to water.
Or that foods, that water is attracted to those foods. It brings the water to it. So if you were to eat the chia seeds bare naked, what happens? Do they like expand in your stomach then?
Well, everything that you ingest, there's like a chemical reaction mm-hmm. in your body. So
right.
yeah,
right.
So some people, especially, and now chia seeds have become a little bit mainstream since I started
right.
researching them many years ago. So I always find it so interesting because now people really, you know, a lot of people know what they are. Whereas when I first started, people were like, chia seeds, you mean from the chia pet, like that you put on it, which they are the same seeds as the chia pet. So people were always like, you want me to ingest chia pet seeds? You know, like that sounds kind of like, but really, yes, essentially that is happening in your digestive system because it's absorbing. And that's why a lot of times, you know, people that eat these foods, like if you do eat chia seeds, and I would encourage people to, it's so easy to add to a shake or to yogurt or to oats, mm-hmm. that when you do eat foods like that, and chia seeds is just a good example of a hydrophilic food, that is essentially going on in your digestive system. And there's that like a gel forming in your digestive system, and that's what keeps your blood sugar levels from rising rapidly because it's kind of creating a barrier in your digestive system mm-hmm. and they're rising up slowly. So it's a very positive thing. It's not making you filled up, you know, where you're going to get, you know, people are like, is it filling you up, like bloating you out? No, it's just
mm-hmm.
actually creating a very, very essential barrier, which is great for when, especially like if you have issues with your blood sugar levels where, and we all kind of experience that where our blood sugar levels can go up and then we feel like they're low and we feel really sluggish and tired. So it's beneficial for everyone. But if you really research the properties of hydrophilic fiber or soluble fiber, it's great for people with diabetes who have, blood sugar issues. And that translates to also, you know, your person that doesn't have those issues, but just, you know, is always kind of on the go and wants to feel good throughout the whole day, energized throughout
mm-hmm.
the day. So, yeah. So if you some people will eat chia seeds just, you know, to get that benefit and just feel full, but they're really easy to mix with different foods and actually don't have much of a taste, but have a great consistency where it's, you know, crunchy if you put it into a yogurt or an oatmeal, and it's kind of crunchy
mm-hmm.
and it's satisfying.
So, yeah, I do enjoy a crunch, let me tell you. So,
yeah, some people like a crunch, yeah.
Oh, I don't know what it is, and I don't know, I don't like a wet crunch like a carrot as much as I like a dry crunch like a Dorito, but...
Well, that's true. There's nothing like a, you can,
that's
in my book too. I know that everyone, you know, I understand that sometimes you're going to get a craving like that and that people, you know,
mm-hmm.
want to have certain foods like Doritos and chips. And I really understand that people are living their lives and, you know, I definitely
right.
account for that in the book because, you know, you don't want to set yourself up for failure and be like, I'm going to be 100% all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So there is a term in my book called if foods, which are like, I try to really, really stress that there are no bad foods, just iffy. So something like a crunch, like a Dorito, as we were just saying, or whatever, you know, those are food, mm-hmm. that is a food that should it be an infrequent food. So an IF food, like an IF food. And if you get onto like a routine where you're really mostly eating healthy and clean and, you know, non-processed foods, once in a while, something like that sneaks into your diet. It's not going to sabotage all your, you know, all your efforts, but it has to be mm-hmm. once in a while. And that sometimes is a hard concept for people, but if you, you know, if you, the more and more you practice it, the easier it becomes. So, you know, I don't want people to think that, you know, you can never, ever have a piece of birthday cake again, you know, or a drink.
You just can't have one every single day, right?
Exactly.
Or all day.
Exactly.
So,
I know there are a lot of people that are disappointed right now, but I know. Yes.
I've been dieting for a long time. I'm over 29, I hate to admit, but one of the things that I learned at one of my Learn How to Eat classes was that, really technically speaking, there's either a holiday or some kind of vacation, something, every single day of the year.
Oh, my God.
And
That's really a good point.
You could find a way to, you know, justify a piece of birthday cake almost every day. It's either a friend's birthday or a family member's birthday
to my clients all the time. I'm like, we can go through the calendar right now and find excuses mm-hmm. for every day of the week. Like, I mean, for every week, you know, so
yep.
it's got to come from within where this is a choice that you're making and you have to pick and choose where it is that you are going to have a week like that, because, you know, a lot of people mm-hmm. go on vacation or people, you're exactly right. There's always a holiday, or I know all of them because I know every excuse in the book because of the people that I counsel.
Right.
So,
yeah,
there's actually a term
for
that in my book. I call it excusitis, disease of excuses, because I came up with that term. Even me, who does this all the time, every day with people, and I really try to help people not make excuses, because that's so easy, especially when you're trying to get healthier or lose weight or lower your cholesterol, whatever the issue is, makes excuses. But, you know, I find myself making them sometimes because it's a human being thing to do. Sometimes you just, you know, feel like making excuses not to go to the gym or not to eat healthy, and it's, you know, it's very, very difficult to have a day that doesn't have one excuse in it. But if you're aware of it, that's a good step, you know, if you're aware of all the excuses. So I tell people, you're suffering from excusitis, again, disease of excuses.
We don't have a pill for that either.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering now about this hydrophilic property in this grouping of food. So most people are chronically dehydrated. And so if they were to eat hydrophilic foods, where would the water come from that would be like hydrating these foods? Are you also encouraging more fluid intake, or how are you managing the water part?
No, that's a good point. Well, I always encourage, you know, water intake, because you know, that goes without saying that it's very important to be hydrated throughout your day. And also, so a lot of times when you're thirsty, that can signal your body that you're hungry, and that those lines get crossed. So it's always important for anyone to stay hydrated. And as you're eating your meals, always have, you know, to make sure that you're drinking water throughout your day. Which you're right is a huge issue, because so many people don't do that. But, you know, actually a lot of the foods that are encouraged on the plan also are water containing, like fruits and vegetables. And they have, you know, because they're natural whole foods.
Right.
So, you know, you are getting hydrated and water from that, but you're absolutely right. A way to, you know, to increase the satiety of and the effects of these foods is to also be, you know, be drinking water throughout the day. And anytime, you know, really it's a very high fiber diet, because we're really focusing on soluble fiber. And anytime you have that a diet that's high in fiber, you should always be drinking water to, you know, to help everything along in your system and flush out your system. So, point that you make. But however, you know, it's not like you're not getting any hydration, because there are, you know, there are a lot of foods that are encouraged on the plan that also contain a lot of water, and like apples and pears and, you know, vegetables like broccoli and all these things have naturally containing water. So, you know,
right.
You wouldn't
so
be completely
eating
dehydrated.
Eating the hydrophilic foods then would keep that the moisture that's in those foods from, like, being sweated out. It would keep it into your system
time,
a little longer?
Yes, absolutely. There are studies that show that, you know, eating these types of foods prolongs your hydration because, it, you know, because of what we were talking about, that it is attracted to water and it's in your system for a longer time. And that's why if you really research, like, these properties, like athletes, really, and that's what really was so interesting to me about chia seeds, because a long time ago there wasn't that much information, but there was a lot of information about people that participated in sports and would a lot of times use chia seeds before their events or their game, because it did, it kept their energy levels up, but two, it kept them hydrated for longer periods of time. So I think that's a really good point, you know, and feeling dehydrated, as we all know, can make you feel sluggish and tired and cranky and all those wonderful adjectives. So you want to stay hydrated and feel, you know, like you are sustaining energy throughout your day. So that's very important.
That's why I really just picked up on in your introduction here the idea that this is a sustainable diet, because most of them, well, not most of them, but a lot of diets seem to be very unsustainable. You can only eat cabbage soup for, you know, a week, maybe.
Yeah, I know.
And the paleo diet is really hard, too. And there's just so many difficult aspects to most diets that don't make them sustainable. So how do you kind of go around that? How do you make it be more sustainable?
Yeah, so one, exactly what you were saying, a lot of diets are restrictive or very little calories or not a lot of food. I think that if you interviewed a lot of my clients or people that have gone on a diet, it's a lot of food, and I think that you're always encouraged to eat. Now, that doesn't mean eat whatever you want at all times, but there are so many different choices of foods, and it's almost like sometimes people that come, because a lot of us who are busy and who are moms and who have careers on top of that tend to not eat enough during the day and then have like a binge session at night, you know, because we kind of deprived ourselves all day and didn't eat properly, and then everything goes downhill from there. So the plan encourages you to eat throughout the day a lot. So you're sustaining, you know, so you're full. And, you know, I think that that's one reason why once you get into that habit, people are like, wow, I'm always able to eat something, you know, a snack or a meal. And then the other point is I really don't eliminate, like I said, I count for if foods, so I don't really eliminate any food group. You're allowed to have carbs on the diet. You know, in the beginning, if you have to lose a lot of weight, we'll go through, you know, certain amount of carbs to have throughout the day, a no-carb diet. There's no food group that's eliminated, and I think that's important because we need carbs, and it's really, really hard to sustain a diet that takes out an entire food group, because eventually it's going to make its way back into your into your routine, and then you're going to feel discouraged. So, you know, I encourage healthy carbs like sweet potatoes and brown rice and oats and different grains like that. But Mm-hmm. I do not eliminate them. So I think that's an important point also. And as people, you know, and then I definitely, like we were saying before, understand that people have cravings, like sweet cravings and crunch cravings and salt cravings. So there's definitely a lot of ideas in the book, like, you know, vegetable chips and kale chips and popcorn and different foods that hopefully will satisfy those cravings. And then there's sweet things like sorbets and things like that, and puddings like that use a lot of the hydrophilic foods, but also can give you like that satisfying kick to that craving. So I think that most people will find that it's very easy to sustain. And a lot of my diet and a lot of the book encourages healthy habits. So it's more about, it's definitely about the foods that you're eating and making good choices and decisions, but it's also, you know, anyone that has struggled with their weight or struggled with energy levels, it's usually because we've developed bad habits in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
we need, you know, and we've all relate to that. And one of the biggest ones is exactly what I was talking about before, is eating patterns. So, you know, I use this hunger scale in the book, like where you kind of measure how hungry you feel during the day on a scale of 1 to 10, and 1 being a small number where you feel really hungry and like you can eat like your desk in front of you because you're starving, you know, or 10, you feel, you know, you're not so hungry, but you eat anyway, which we have all been there too on a holiday or something.
Sure.
So, you know, I encourage people to be in the middle of that scale, never ever too hungry and never, you know, feeling like you're gonna like throw up because your pants are so tight. So like being right in the middle where, and the way that you see that is to really concentrate on your patterns where you have a normal breakfast and then 3 or 4 hours you have a snack if you can't have lunch, and then 2 hours after that you have your lunch. And so that's a habit, you know, it's really, and mm-hmm. it's as easy as it sounds, it's very difficult because we all get busy and we, you know, or we're on the go and we don't have time. And so we don't end up eating properly. So that's also encouraged, just improving your eating habits. And everyone would be surprised if we made that one change, how different we would feel.
Karen, I want to make sure that we let people know how to get your book, The HD Diet, and your website is decisionnutrition.com. So where's the best place to get your book from?
Well, the book, The HD Diet, is available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's also available at all bookstores like Barnes & Noble, and if there are bookstores left out there. But you can, and it's available on the Kindle. You can buy it on the Kindle. Or the Nook, you know, there's an e-copy of it all available mm-hmm. also. And that's how you would get it. And you can obviously also contact me through my website where all my information is if you want more information on it. And I have an Instagram account on Decision Nutrition too, where I I post a lot of the recipes and different foods or what I'm doing or different things about what's going on in Decision Nutrition, and a Facebook page that also
has. And you
have
an HD app.
Yes, I do.
I have an HD app.
I have an HD app, which kind of, you know, is an app that describes, you know, you take a picture of your food and it kind of tells you which foods are hydrophilic and which foods are not. So that's
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's also something that's interesting to people. But that's how you can contact me anytime. I'm very attainable through my email and my website, and I would love to hear from people.
Looks
Absolutely.
Like you also have a little store here. You've got chia seed capsules and a water bottle. That water bottle looks cool.
I use it at the gym a lot.
Do you?
Yes, I also actually, for for those of you that are interested in trying out chia seeds or whatever, I also sell chia bagels, which are really delicious and very popular amongst my clients and people who have tried them. They're 80-calorie bagels that are made with no sugar, no salt, and they have chia seeds in them, of course, and they're extraordinarily filling, and that's why people love them. So I always tell people, you know, what's the one thing you miss most? A bagel, because we all love bagels. So
yeah.
I came up with this chia bagel, and it's really, and that's also available on Amazon.
Awesome.
Where I sell them.
And it doesn't look like they're as big as your head, which
they are an appropriate portion, which is, I think, surprising. When people see them, they think they look small, but it's the appropriate portion, you know, as opposed to what
it's
you would get at a New York City bagel store. I know. That's why those are
Karen,
so delicious, but they're really big.
Thank you so much for your time today, and it was very enlightening to talk about a different style of eating and different kinds of foods. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, and there we go. That was Karen Gilbert from DecisionNutrition.com, and she has a book called The HD Diet, and you can find that on her website, as I mentioned, and anywhere books are sold, apparently. So have a great rest of the day, and your 30 minutes
are
up. You can get off your bike.